Warning: The Mended Futures podcast contains stories told by guests that may be sensitive to some people. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. The opinions expressed by guests do not reflect the views of the hosts and/or producers of this podcast.
Y'all, do we have a treat for you today? We talked to Courtney Green, who founded, created, is the executive director of an organization called Love Heals. Love Heals provides benefit concerts to people going through medical crises, who have trouble paying their bills, and who just need a community to wrap around them in support.
And I loved hearing more about the heart behind the storytelling and the intentional, meaningful relationship. So it goes along with a theme that you'll hear quite often in the podcast. Yes, ma'am. So take a listen to Courtney from Love Heals.
Mm-hmm. We hope you enjoy.
Yes, who are you?
Oh my goodness. Who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I? Complicated. I don't know. Do you want literally a 31-year-old female executive director, founder of a nonprofit
called
Love Heals, hosting benefit concerts, freeing people from medical bondage, one concert at a time, sharing people's stories. I am a daughter. I have a brother and sister. I attend church. I play music. I write songs. I love food. I love food, food experiences. I love experiences. I'm not really into material things. I'm into going places. I love walking and looking at buildings.
Awesome.
I love Richmond, going to the Fan, and just I could walk the same road over and over again. And every time you pick up a different piece of someone's creativity and expression through their homes and their gardening and what they put outside. And I live for that. So I'm very easy to entertain because I like to just walk around outside and look at stuff. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This is the first time I'm formally hearing your story, but I would say for the last couple of years, we've run in a lot of the same circles. And hearing you talk about yourself, you fully live in the moment. And it is so obvious that you are more grounded and you are in the moment. And that's something that I wish that I could say about myself. And I have to constantly bring myself back to the moment. And whenever I'm with you, you are so clearly in the moment.
Oh, that's really nice. Thank you. Yeah. I don't feel that all the time. And learning to bring my mental reality into other people's perception, because I think a lot of it lives in my head, but I do try to be present with people. Not always the best, but because I'm such an external processor, as we learned in some of our meetings yesterday, you are usually hearing what I'm thinking in real time. There's usually not a lot of mystery. It's just right there in that moment. So I guess I'm learning to rediscover that part of myself that lives in the moment without all the pressures of all the other things. So
on a similar line, I've heard you say that you started Love Heals by accident.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Love Heals initially was a conversation of how do you love people who are trying to heal. So it wasn't how do I start a nonprofit or it was how do you if everyone's healing from something, divorce, separation, addiction, depression, anxiety, you even have to heal from moving or losing friends or going to church and then moving to a different church. All sorts of fallouts, all sorts of things are happening constantly. So if we all are healing constantly, how do you love people through that? And that conversation started when my friend got diagnosed with breast cancer back in 2017. And so I was 24 at the time and watching a young person go through a cancer diagnosis. So I was like, I was there for, it might be cancer, to the biopsy, to the doctor's appointment, to the diagnosis, to the family rushing in and being terribly upset to what's next. And through that process, witnessed a lot of people meaning really well, but making it worse over and over again. So they meant to make you feel better, But what happened was they slowly turned her identity from mm-hmm. who she was into cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry that you're sick. How are you? Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry this is happening. My mom died from cancer a year ago. Like all these very unhelpful but so well-meaning things that you almost can't be angry at anybody mm-hmm. for it. It's almost like we just don't know how to do it. And so we talked about it for a year, 2017 to 2018. How do you love people who are trying to heal? And in the process, learned it's about normalizing things. It's like you can still go shopping. You can still go to the gym. You can still go to the movies. You can make Thanksgiving dinner on a random Wednesday in the middle of July if you want to. Like,
you can listen to Dr. Worm.
You can listen to Dr. Worm. So I ended up making these shirts that said Love Heals on them that had a sloth riding a llama. And it was just so funny. And it was like it said Love Heals on the bottom of it. Again, not meant to be a nonprofit, just like a mantra. And I made them for her and her family. And like we all kind of wore them as like they were pink for breast cancer. And so it's just like something that made people laugh. It's a conversation starter. I hope to bring those designs back.
Yes.
I'll put them on the store.
OG design.
I think it's hilarious. Yeah. Everyone loved that shirt. They're just my shirt literally disintegrated because it was so old. But anyway, the organization was birthed by, again, accident when she reached out for prayer a year after her diagnosis and said she couldn't afford an upcoming treatment and she needed prayer. And I was working at a restaurant. I told a coworker. He was like, well, we could just throw a concert, which is a very normal thing to do. So we threw her a concert. In about 2 weeks, we put it together and five bands came out. And
wow.
She drove down from Richmond to share a story, and people were like, what's it called? And I was like, Love Heals, because I don't know what – I didn't even know what it was, and I really wasn't sure why people connected with the concept, to be honest, because benefit shows happen all the time. But there was something about this thing that we're all broken and that we all are the same, and we just don't know how to be human together. So there
and
was
this
something.
Was pre-pandemic.
This was pre-pandemic. It
and
sure
I
was.
Think that is really interesting.
Tell
because
me. I love Allison's thoughts.
During or post-pandemic, it would make sense that people were craving that. But people were craving this before we all collectively, globally needed some healing.
Absolutely. Like people would come up to me and say, just from the name and just from like that piece of the story, how do you love people who are healing, would tell me about their car anxiety from a traumatic car crash they were in and how their friends don't understand their panic in the car and the control issues that come up or this or that. I mean, so many stories come out when people realize that, again, we're not all that different. We're really pretty much the same. And we just feel really isolated, but it's like we're all here. And so bringing humanity back to the process, yeah, we've been craving it for a long time. And I just didn't realize the power of that at the time. So after we named the show Love Heals and we raised enough for her treatment, and people were like, when's the next one? And I was like, I'm trying to graduate college right now.
Right.
Because we did that in November. I graduated in December.
Wow.
And I was not planning on trying to start anything. And afterwards, God really challenged me with a couple things.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
I love that it happens to other people too. Like, I didn't mean for this to happen. I wasn't going to do
this. Yeah. And there's a piece of the story I leave in, I take out. I don't know. I'll share it here because you guys are safe and whoever's listening. But a couple days after that event, that friend ultimately cut me out of her life just out of nowhere. And so I thought she's dying. She doesn't want me to know. And it turns out, again, just people have different levels of brokenness. And so I really had to wrestle with what do I do with this pain of this person I loved? And the lesson I learned was that loving someone can look like showing up every weekend to help sort pills and go to chemo appointments or go to whatever. Loving someone can look like being there, and loving someone can also look like letting go. And both is love, and both helps heal. And so I've had to practice in this journey loving people in a way that heals like all together in this holistic way. It doesn't look like one thing, and it often doesn't look like what we think it's supposed to look like. So that was a big point for me. God challenged me a few weeks after the event of, will you love people when they spit in your face? I don't know why that's the phrase he gave me, but will you love them when they spit on your face? And will you do what you wanted to do before it got hard? And those were the two questions. And I decided to say yes to both of them and graduated. Got wildly depressed for all the transitions. And also, no one tells you that when you graduate college, you're a little lost. So now I warn kids all the time, like, call me when you graduate if you need someone, because it's going to be chaotic.
It's normal.
It's so normal. But no one told me. So anyway, I try to warn them.
Wait till you hit menopause.
I don't want to.
Call me.
Okay. Okay. Hey, you better. I'll be here. Your number. Yeah, don't change your number on me now. Don't.
There's so many things in life that we don't talk about.
Yeah. The first semester of college, awful, hated it. And then, like, the year after, for me, it was the year that, like, most of my college friends moved away because a lot of us stayed.
Yeah.
So, like, transitioning from college to not college wasn't as hard as, like, losing that community from college.
There's so, whatever so that many looks things. Like, is,
like, the hardest.
And hearing you talk about how you love people, I oftentimes use the example of seasons. That helps me reason with how much life changes and that I can really appreciate a season. So in that season, she needed you loving her that way. And it was healing. Love heals that way.
Yeah.
And people are going to move away and people are going to, but you're going to love them anyway.
Yeah.
That's what we should do.
Yeah.
Love them anyway.
Absolutely. And maintaining health and all that kind of stuff and looking at what, I mean, then you get the conversation of boundaries and what does enablement look like? And like loving someone who's an addict might look like cutting off X, Y, and Z. And that's really hard. And so Love Heals to me can seem like such a political statement. It can feel like a love is love and a really like feeling thing, but it, to me, it's never been about feeling. It's always been about choice and action. And I want to make sure people know that. Yeah, love as a verb, love in movement, and love in pain, and love in rejection, and love in despair, and love in gratitude. And it's not one thing, and you probably won't feel good often, and let's normalize that love doesn't always feel good, because I don't think we talk about that enough. I don't think we talk about the pain points of love.
People think if it doesn't feel good, it's time to get out.
I didn't think I was a Christian for a long time because I don't feel love towards God, and I still wrestle with that.
Right.
I still wrestle with my faith of like, I don't have this, like, I'm not crying on the stage. I'm like moved. And I'm like, but like, God is so much bigger than that. And like, what does it look like to love God in action and choice? What does it look like to move towards someone who I feel distant from and watch him build my heart out and towards him and build it in respect and build it in honor and worship and all these things? And like, what does it look like for feelings to come later? But it's just messy. Like, so I don't know. It does, it's all windy in all these different ways. Sometimes it is a feeling.
So I've learned a lot along the way, and one of the things that you just described, there's research behind behavior can come before belief. So you can act out love oftentimes before you feel love.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes we're trying to change people's philosophy or change their beliefs. But one of the easiest ways to do it is to get them to do the thing.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I've heard that in like even motivation comes after. So like I'm not motivated to go on a run. And then you go on the run and then you have motivation. Learning that I don't probably hold the studies as well as like other people. I just like learn the information. Like I just remember. But like learning that doing something you don't want to do actually increases your will to live. So you don't want to wake up early, but you do. And over time, that working in the pain and the hard. Increases your will to be alive. So it's like, wow, what a different way of living. And also, again, that's like, I don't know, I get really excited when you see principles of God in the universe. That's a really beautiful thing. It's not about self-gratification. That's actually the pathway to death, which I've learned along the way. God doesn't care an awful lot about right and wrong. He cares a whole lot about life and death. And so what does it look like to look for pathways of life? And because if you focus on right and wrong, you focus on legalism, and then you become worshiping works instead of worshiping God and Yahweh. So what are the truths that exist that produce life? And it turns out that when you reject and deny yourself, you actually find life. It's the craziest thing. Anyway, the end.
Do hard things.
Do hard things.
We had a guest, Lindsay Runda.
Yeah,
I know her. Said something that has stuck with me. She said, sometimes obedience precedes passion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like, mm-hmm. well, that could apply anywhere mm-hmm. to anything. Like, let Absolutely. Me go pray for 4 hours straight. Like, I know. Holy crap.
It's complicated, man. Yeah. No one, it's not like we're all looking for the like formula.
Yeah.
And we're all designed uniquely. So we each have a different pathway to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And while we share many of the common ways, that's what's been really cool to me about like developing my faith. Even like God sees me, he sees how I got where I am, he saw how my mom got where she is, and he saw how my grandma got mm-hmm. there, and he can follow that pattern all the way back. So no one's gonna know me more than the one who knew all my ancestors that came mm-hmm. before me and saw all the decisions that were made and followed that thread all the way to see all the things that happened to you that you don't even remember because mm-hmm. you were a baby. It's like God just sees it and he's able to help us get there in a very unique way, which mm-hmm. to tie it back into our organization is our 99-to-1 principle. We do our shows for one person. A lot of people are like, why don't you help cancer or help this or help that? And I was like, that's a great question. Let me pray about it. Because they were like, why should we donate to you guys? I was like, don't until I have an answer. Because mm-hmm. I hate trying to sell a lie. Or if I'm not sold in, I'm not going to ask you to be bought in either. So we went to prayer and God dropped, like, I want Love Heals to mirror my heart for the one. Because lots of organizations go after a cause and that's a really amazing thing. And you can work alongside them. But I want you to pull out the one person. And I want you to demonstrate to the world what it looks like for me to chase the one. You guys are going to do that too.
And so it's very micro.
It's very micro. It's a terrible business model. But it's really cool too.
It's revolutionary.
I don't know. We'd be open to what God has next mm-hmm. if it's something new.
But like we talked about yesterday.
Yes.
So I happened to be in a brainstorming meeting with Courtney and Love Heals yesterday. You choose to help the one publicly.
Yes.
But the people who are attending the shows or mm-hmm. the people who are also buying into Love Heals,
mm-hmm.
you're helping them through education. You're helping them through, I mean, I think about the power of, you know, multiples. What if they leave and tell three people something that they learned or they heard or they saw? So you're focusing on the one.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are attending the shows are also beneficiaries.
Absolutely. I was really glad we had that conversation because it's been like, how do I dissect? Because I'm always looking for a formula. That's why I'm like, there is no formula because I'm constantly looking.
You haven't found one.
It's exhausting. I'm like, mm-hmm. where is the next? Like, how do I figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
I want solutions. I want answers all the time. I wrestle with God a lot mm-hmm. on giving me an answer, clarity. I need whatever. But anyway, I really wanted to dissect that 99-to-1 scripture. I was like, what does it look like? How did the 99 get affected when God went out and chased the one? And for a while, I really had a hard time personally with that because I was like, what about the 99? Mm-hmm. I was like, what about them? Don't they matter? And so it's just kind of funny that we're here. I don't know. God's teaching me a lesson, but I'm glad to hear like other people who can look in and see this is what this looks like, and that's the power mm-hmm. of community and talking, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to piece all that together mm-hmm. on my own. I just was kind of sitting there banging my head against the wall like, how does this work?
How do you choose the beneficiaries, for lack of a better word?
We actually used to say beneficiaries mm-hmm. and we switched it to storytellers because beneficiary felt really clinical, and also it's accurate, but it's not accurate because someone who's sharing their story is giving you more
mm-hmm.
than even what your dollars are giving them. They're giving you themselves, and that is you can't put a price tag on it. And so the shows are really meant to be built with reciprocity in mind. So it's everyone's giving something and everyone's gaining something because that's what healthy ecosystems look like. And I didn't design that. God designed it, and I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
because the one has something to offer to the 99. They absolutely
have something to offer to the 99. They have the most important thing to offer. And so we give our presence and our time and our money, and they give their presence and their time and their story. Mm-hmm. And there's this beautiful exchange where you watch someone walk away with money so that they can have a break from stressing about how they're going to pay for rent that month. Mm-hmm. While they're trying to fight a chronic illness or cancer or something horrible. Mm-hmm. And the audience gets to walk away knowing they changed someone's life directly and knowing that now they carry something mm-hmm. that they didn't carry before, which is this connection piece. So anyway.
Talk us through, because there are listeners who are going to be outside of the region and they don't know what Love Heals is. If you go to a Love Heals show, mm-hmm. what will it look like or sound like or feel like?
So we've had like pushback on how we like, oh, I don't want to go to a show and feel sad. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, come to one. I promise you're mm-hmm. not going to feel sad, because what you should feel and our goal is to have everyone feel connected and feel encouraged. Mm-hmm. Even if a story is hard, mm-hmm. there is victory in all of it. So we do a big celebration. Typically when you come in, we have usually a local resource table connected to the person's story. We have merch set up. We'll bring in vendors if it's an opportunity to do that. But you come in and the first thing you do is you write a note of encouragement that you put on our banner that we collect at the end of the night and we give to the storyteller. So they get to take it home and read all these different notes from the people. So you connect there. We just started a wristband process. So we have paper wristbands that have Love Heals in the family's name on it with a QR code to their story so that you can carry that on for as long as you want that wristband. And you can literally carry their story on your wrist. So you walk in and we do those two things and then enter into the building where we'll usually do a quick introduction, set the tone. We have really great music, super fun. So usually it's covers with or originals, depending on who we're working with, but covers if it's a local band, singing along, dancing, whatever. And then right in the middle, because music automatically creates listening, mm-hmm. that's what it's for. Mm-hmm. So we're already listening to music. That's when we write in the dead center of the set, invite everyone to a moment of stillness mm-hmm. where we bring out the person's story and they get to come and they get to share in their own words what their experience has been. So we don't control the narrative mm-hmm. or tell them what they can or can't share. We just are up there to let them speak. Mm-hmm. They connect in their own words to the audience. We do a moment of prayer where everyone comes up and gets to gather around, connect together, and let people know we can pray with them as well. And then we finish out, and then again, that same spirit of listening and celebration, and we cheer really loud for whoever the storyteller is, go right into more singing and hanging out, and then you get to head home at the end of the show. So we're trying to make them, you know, as just fun as possible, because life's heavy enough, like mm-hmm. I said. So we do want to create that holy moment of listening, but we also don't want to focus on the problem. We want to focus on the connection, and that's the main point.
So I have a hard question.
Oh, man.
Are these religious? And what if you're not a believer?
Okay, cool. Which I feel like I didn't answer your question. Storytellers get nominated on mm-hmm. our forum, word of mouth, and we have a forum on our website. So that's how we connect with people. Okay. What if they're not religious? Our tagline's From Christians for Everyone. So we sit down with the storytellers once we've vetted and made sure it's an appropriate fit. Mm-hmm. And by appropriate fit, I mean they have a legitimate financial hardship with a legitimate mm-hmm. medical situation. So we verify that through different forms and releases we get from their doctor, as well as press release and whatnot. So we have a process for all that. And anyway, we have a sit down and just let them know that this is what our beliefs are. Are you comfortable with X, Y, and Z? If they're not comfortable with prayer, perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
That is totally fine. It doesn't have to happen. We've just never found anyone, even if they don't believe the same mm-hmm. thing, they're always open to it. Because the end of the day, we're all looking for
that support and connection.
Just some, mm-hmm. yeah. And so we'd never coerce. So mm-hmm. we are so happy. In fact, we have a tool for worship nights where we partner with the church to do benefit worship nights. It's the same thing, but change it from secular music to worship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So some of these are secular shows.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are
at the church. Yeah.
At the church and are worship shows.
Yeah. Okay. But we call them that. So one's a benefit worship night.
Okay.
So when we just did the show with the Fret family, that mm-hmm. was a worship night.
Okay.
So it was a benefit worship night. But then Danetta's was at the Trading Post, mm-hmm. and that was a Love Heals Danetta benefit concert.
Okay.
So we do distinguish that. We pray at the secular ones unless the person's not comfortable, in which case we welcome people to send up good energy and mm-hmm. prayers if you're a praying person for this person mm-hmm. in your own time. Okay. So it's never forced, and we're actually starting to even go away from churches a little bit more. I feel like Love Heals is being built to go into the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And
so you have a model for each.
We have a model for each.
And the reason I ask that is it can be intimidating mm-hmm. if you're not a believer or you don't know how to enter into the Christian space.
Yeah.
And I think that's important that you are allowing people to come to this space.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're loving them mm-hmm. as a Christian.
My hope is that people will get to experience, again, whether it's proclaimed or just an action, the heart of Jesus for them. Even if it's not said mm-hmm. at a bar, mm-hmm. at a brewery, if we do a secular show entirely and they don't want prayer, but they don't walk away from us still being Christians and we don't bring it up, I still hope that they get to see that this is what Jesus' heart is for them, mm-hmm. you know, through action. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just, it's all about action. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have a model for both, and we are starting to enter more into breweries, bars, and secular music because it's where the doors are opening, and I will follow them until the Lord shuts them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Hey, friends. Let's talk about real impact. Imagine a single mom struggling to keep her family together or a child sleeping on the floor because they don't have a bed. Now imagine you being able to meet that need. That's exactly what happens every day through Care Portal.
Care Portal is a platform that connects real-time needs from local children and families to people like you, churches and individuals who want to make a difference. With just a few clicks, you can step in, meet a need, and build a meaningful connection that changes lives.
This isn't just charity. It's the church and the community coming together, showing up in love and action. So if you're ready to turn compassion into action, visit careportal.org and see how you can be a part of the movement, because connection changes everything.
Visit careportal.org for more information on how to sign up and start meeting the needs of children and families in your own zip code. Once again, that's careportal.org.
Thank you, Care Portal, for sponsoring the Mended Futures podcast.
What are the challenges to what you do?
So many.
And I think this will be healing for other people to hear if they're walking through ministry or nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So be authentic.
Okay, what's challenging? Collaboration with the church is very challenging. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's why we're walking away from, not walking away. That sounds so dramatic. We are moving towards secular venues because they are willing to work with us. Mm-hmm. And in our, what we found is the church is not. And I think they're overserved, understaffed, have their own benevolence funds, have their own programs. Could be all those things, could be one of those things. I just think they have their own mission, and I understand that. Like, I can't, Love Heals right now is focused on medical. Mm-hmm. And if someone was to walk in and say, can you help us rebuild this? I'm going to want to say yes, but I probably can't. So I don't want to chalk it all up to the church is broken mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. I think some of it's legit, and I think some of it is we're self-focused and don't have enough resources in that realm. So I would say that's probably why. So the church has been hard to partner with. Another pain point, I sometimes feel like we're too Christian for the secular world. And I feel like we're too secular for the Christian world.
Ooh.
And it is infuriating. I get mad at both parties. I have to simmer down. So that's a pain point.
So you're pioneering in both...
Yeah.
Places.
In a way, I feel like we're disrupting a little bit on each side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is necessary in many ways.
Yeah, I guess.
I think so.
We're finding, but
probably exhausting.
It is. Totally. It's like hard to please everybody. And
impossible to, in fact.
It is. It is. I'm going to give you such a short story, though. Went to Richmond, talked to a church because we're planning a tour that we'll launch in the fall. And Richmond's one of the stops. And I thought this church would be on board. And it was just like another, sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. And you can tell when someone's not actually right. interested. So I was like, all right, God, send us to someone who has passion and an excitement to work with us. And someone tells us to go to this venue. It's called The Reveler up in Carytown. Like, okay, I will go there. Sounds good. And then online it says it's closed, so we weren't going to go. I was like, let's just drive by on the way out. It was open. Met the guy we were supposed to talk to. It's this crazy venue. It's like Edgar Allan Poe.
What?
Very dark. Very, I was like, I don't know how I feel in here. Mm-hmm. Told the guy what we did, who we were. And he's like, so you guys create spaces of connection, listening, support, and you celebrate people through music and storytelling. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, I'm in. And he's like 100% on board. And I'm like, I don't. It's crazy where God will send you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and sometimes then it's the church down the road who's really welcoming and warm. And sometimes it's the place where the church is really kind of hesitant to go to. Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got to pause there for a little bit because we've got listeners in lots of spaces, and you would think that you would get more yeses from churches. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do. They're slow yeses from a lot of churches. Mm-hmm. I always make jokes that, you know, government and church, the bureaucracy moves slower than the speed of smell. And you're a small nonprofit and you're a mover and you're a shaker and you're motivated. You might see more doors opening in secular worlds because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That is 100% where we are. So I think the whole point, the whole lesson is to go where the doors are opening and to not get bitter in the process. Mm-hmm. So God really shook me up where I was like, this was 2023. I was like, Christians are so impossible and they're all fake. I'm such a horrible person in my head. I am like very judgmental. But I'm like in church, like it's a Sunday. I'm like, I can't stand all these people. I like, they're all fake. They're all problems. Mm-hmm. They're all divisive. And I just like felt God in my spirit like, and you're a problem. Mm-hmm. And you're divisive. And until you learn how to start with you, you have no business judging any of these other people. Uh-huh. And I was like, whoa. So it has to start with us. And that became one of our mantras. It starts with us. 2023, we only worked with the local church. And even though it was hard, it was a beautiful opportunity to mend some of that. And also realize that's such a miracle that God chose us to deliver his message. Mm-hmm. We are super, super useless in a lot of ways as a human species. Like, we're awesome, but we're also disgruntled, and it's like messy, and God chose us. What? And that's been, instead of making me bitter, which I still have to guard my heart against, it's really made me realize it's a miracle. And that we are, God doesn't make sense. The more I learn about him, the more he doesn't fit into my human how I would do things, and that makes him more real to me. So other pain points.
And if your hope is to, I think of Tommy Clark and talking about Mission House Coffee, if your hope is to make people feel a love like Jesus, or take some of the Christian spirit out into the world, it would make sense that some of these things are happening in secular spaces, because people are not likely to come into a church if they're not a part of the religion, or if they're not a part of the community already.
Yeah.
So I do think there's power in, you know, Tommy was talking about, he knows that he can minister to people at a coffee shop that will never come into a church. Mm-hmm. So that's reminded me of that.
And that's where I originally was. It's just funny. I originally was so bitter against the church. There was no way I would ever work with them. That was how I started. And I've had to go on a long heart journey to get to where I am now. But I started with, no, I want the addicts to be able to come. I want the LGBTQ community to come. I want the people who are atheists and agnostic to come. I didn't want it to be an exclusive club. And so that was my fear working with the church, and God's really softened my heart towards that. to the point where I was like almost fearful now to go work in secular. Mm-hmm. So we just are always on a pendulum. Right. You're always growing and you're always learning. But my heart from start to finish has not start to finish, start to process mm-hmm. is a lot softer mm-hmm. and kinder. And I do see that Christians aren't entirely, I was just so bitter towards them. Mm-hmm. I felt there was so much hatred.
And we live in a community or a region where there is a church on every corner.
Yeah.
Plus one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's so still a very divided community.
There's a divided community. There are walls and silos. And there are examples of church communities that are collaborating in mm-hmm. beautiful ways. Mm-hmm. But we're in a region with churches and nonprofits and helpers
galore.
And you would think
yeah. right.
that it should be utopian, but it's not.
Yeah. And that's just the human reality. Right. So yeah, I'm very grateful for the changes that have been happening in my heart. And that only comes mm-hmm. by slow sanctification. Mm-hmm. I did not do that on my own. I promise. I don't have
the
capacity.
I did not sign up for this part.
I don't know how to change my own mind. So
right. Seriously.
Yeah.
What are your favorite parts yeah. of what you get to do?
I love meeting people. So fun fact, I actually hate the show itself because I've learned that I'm not a finisher. I'm a starter.
Ooh, same girl.
Yeah. So show day.
I do not like the product.
I don't like the product.
I love an event. That is the one time that I'm like, I love to finish.
I do not like to land a plane.
No, I hate landing the plane. So every time we have a show, I'm like, ugh. And it's so weird, right? Because you would think I'd be like, ah, oh, look at what mm-hmm. we've built. Look what we've done. But I want to stay in that starting process. So, like, I love starting. I love connecting new ideas. I love thinking of different ways to help people. I love advocating. I have no problem taking someone's need and banging down doors mm-hmm. to get them the help that they need. My favorite stories that have come up have been my friend just got diagnosed with cancer, and because I heard your story, I didn't ask her how she is. I just said, let's go to the mall and mm-hmm. go shopping. And I'm like, man, those are such wins. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't treat – and then to hear that person say, hey, thank you for being the only person mm-hmm. to treat me normal since this.
When you were talking about that in the beginning of this conversation, it made me think, because I'm a K-12 educator by trade – there was a switch between being the disability first versus the person first. And what you are trying to model, and I've never thought about it, you're trying to model the patient first or the person first mm-hmm. language.
Yeah.
So they're a person with cancer.
Yes.
They're a person with this disability or this different ability.
Correct.
So I think that's yeah. really important for people to understand mm-hmm. that you don't always want to be, even when you are healed or in remission, you don't want to be the cancer or the diagnosis.
Yeah,
you want to be
exactly.
the person.
Right. And, no, and nobody, you don't want to be only the person, the staff at 518. Mm-hmm. You don't only want to be any of those things.
Right. But we become.
You do. You always,
I would imagine
you don't
you're Courtney
only,
at Love Heals.
I am. And I go everywhere and that's what happens and it's fine. And learning to maintain that this isn't who I am. It's mm-hmm. but it is what I do. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, whether Love Heals exists or not, Love Heals will always exist because for me, Love Heals is learning to choose to love people. Mm-hmm. And how that gets to be demonstrated is how it gets to be mm-hmm. demonstrated. So it's like, it's really hard and you lose it. You become a caregiver mm-hmm. and that's what you are. You become a spouse and that's all, like, that's what you are. But like, why aren't we so much more? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I really want to, those are my wins. When I hear stories, I had another person I met and I didn't realize it because to us it's normal because we are so about it at our company culture, I guess, our mm-hmm. small company culture. Mm-hmm. But her son is in a wheelchair. And she was like, no one ever talks to my son. Like, they normally can't look at him. They normally, mm-hmm. or they talk to him like he can't understand. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you guys just talk to him. And it's like, yeah, of course. And I just, it's hard to believe that that's not normal mm-hmm. for me. But to really start to see that it's actually a real epidemic almost that we just are so
people
uncomfortable.
Yes. Don't know how to interact with what they don't understand.
So they
correct.
Don't.
So they don't.
Yes.
And that's totally human.
Right.
I'm not judging anybody who's doing that. Mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. I do.
It's just the willingness to learn about it.
Yeah. We do it to people who are grieving, too. We do a really good job of supporting them through the funeral. And then mm-hmm. after a while, it's like, oh, so-and-so's so sad. That's weird. That's hard. That's and then messy. It's like we just stop talking to them.
Yeah. It's
and we don't do it on purpose. No, but we do it.
Well, we're in self-preservation, mm-hmm. right? And so here's another thing about what I love about Love Heals. If you want to ask me what I love taking something that's fun, taking something that I love, which is music, and using it as a tool. And hopefully, Lord willing, please, like we can lead by example that loving someone can actually be really fun. Mm-hmm. Because if you love to walk, I guarantee you, there's a way to get with someone else who loves to walk and mm-hmm. change someone's life. And if you love to bake, I guarantee you there's a way to take baking and turn it into helping someone. There's
ways. Or coffee. Talk about
coffee.
Talk about your program there. Yeah. You're not just shows.
Coffee for Caregivers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we do Coffee for Caregivers, where we do free monthly gatherings for anyone who is or has been a caregiver. And we launched that program because in 2021, we did an event in California because I'm erratic and I quit my job and I drained my bank account and I filed a 501c3 and paid for all of it out of pocket and had no plan. And anyway, I was like, I'm going to go bike down the coast of California because I want to. But guess what I'm going to do? Raise money for someone, because that's like how it works, guys. It's like it can be so fun. So I was like, I'm going to bike and like see if I can raise some money. And ended up doing a whole concert out there in Los Angeles for a girl named Elaine Fay
yeah.
and biked down the coast to Cali. And it was so fun. And during that process, raised about $17,000 for Elaine and then didn't realize that right behind her was this woman named Jo, who gave up 2 years of her job as a creative in LA to walk her friend home, because Elaine passed from cancer about a year and a half after that event. But she gave up 2 years of working and stability and friends and all the things to make sure Elaine had someone to sit with her at her doctor's appointment.
And there's so many Joes.
There's so many
Joes. We hear about the Elaines.
You hear about the Elaines. And you should hear about the Elaines.
Yes, but there are so many Joes.
There's so many Joes. And so Coffee for Caregivers was meant to be a response to, we will bring people up to the stage to be celebrated because they have a story. But there's also a person who's probably getting them to the stage. Mm-hmm. And where do they go? And how do we see them? And so working with Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver and Caregiver Support Network, finding resources, and then these gatherings are meant to be safe spaces for them to be heard and supported, celebrated as well.
That's very cool.
That's fun. Mm.
Can you, talking about Coffee for Caregivers, can we talk about a moment that you and I had at a meeting in August?
Okay.
When you came up to me after a meeting and you said, I am so anxious.
Okay.
Do you remember? What were you holding?
I don't remember. When was what? August, Allison?
What was in your hand?
Was almost a year ago.
What was in my hand? A water bottle. Coffee. Oh, energy drinks.
And so... Courtney comes up after a lunch meeting.
Now, that is hilarious. I didn't realize that was August.
Courtney comes up after a lunch meeting in August where we have just heard beautiful things. And we're in a room with people who, and I don't know if you feel like this, but when I'm in a room with people who are safe spaces, who are empaths, who are doers, who are helpers, who are along the river, mm-hmm. I feel like my cup has just been filled. Mm-hmm. And it was an especially great space. It was overflowing with people. And she comes up to me afterwards and she was like, I am so anxious.
I have so many energy drinks.
I have not been sleeping. I do not know what's going on. And I would say that's kind of your norm because you're always storming.
Girl, I wake up and I'm like, I have an idea.
Right. Same.
Yeah.
And that's why I love you. But that day she was especially stormy.
Oh my God.
And so as I'm drinking herbal peppermint tea today, because I know my weakness is to caffeinate to the point where I can hear colors.
Right. Yeah.
I'm looking at a younger version of who could be me in August. I grab
so
the 5-gallon bucket size energy drink. And I start reading through here and I said, hey,
this is just not helping.
Just a suggestion. But we are like complicated houseplants.
Yeah.
When was the last time you had some water? Yeah. Sunlight? Maybe a little food? I mean, you were electric.
That does happen to me from time to time.
Yeah. Right.
So I was just drinking because I work at a gym because mm-hmm. I got a side hustle out here. So I paint houses, I clean, I bartend, I cater weddings, I do whatever.
Reality of nonprofit founders or nonprofit executive directors.
Thank you. Yeah, it's real. So I was working at Kinetics and these people kept bringing in pallets and pallets of energy drinks. And if you want to know something about me, I am cheap and I have a workaholic problem. So I'm like, anything I can do to get something for free, I can't pass up something free. I just can't let it sit there. Right. So I have to drink all of them. Because they're free.
So and someone please donate waters. To Love Heals. Waters.
Some peppermint herbal tea.
Waters and pillows.
Stop giving me the energy drinks. What's funny is they don't even give me like actual energy. They just give me anxiety. I was like, I would go to bed at night and I'd be like, you're worthless and you're not getting anywhere in life. And I'm like, it's like every night racing thoughts. You're behind. Nobody cares. And I realize that's anxiety, but like it was magnified. Yeah. And she's like, stop drinking them. And I did. And the next month I was like,
changed my life.
A few weeks later, she texted me and she was like, by the way, I'm not quite as anxious anymore now that I'm not drinking.
Now that I'm not drinking copious amounts of energy drinks because they're free.
Yes. So
I had a season sort of like that where I was like not sleeping, not doing well. And I was like, I think the fix for this is a 3-shot oat milk latte first thing in the morning. Right. No food, maybe till 3 p.m. if at all.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Fasting
and
is
I'm
good
like,
for you.
And I'm like, why am I convulsing?
It's crazy. We are complicated.
More energy is the answer. It's certainly not.
No.
But I do think that's important to realize. I have a wise younger friend who always says there is a cost to everything.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cost to doing this work. Yes. There is a cost for being a helper. Mm-hmm. There is a cost for working in the child welfare space. Mm-hmm. There's a cost. And that day I realized, oh my goodness, you know, you are trying to maintain a pace that is just frantic.
Thank you.
And yesterday we had a conversation of, you know, I don't think I'm doing enough. You're doing more than enough. Yeah. So people listening, you know,
calm me down.
Love Heals is also trying to heal the helpers and trying to help the helpers and trying to prop up the helpers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll work on that whole Rob was like, I'm glad you guys said that because I'm like, it's not. And I think here's the thing about starting a nonprofit. I don't know what it's like to work for a nonprofit because I've never done it before.
You didn't mean to do it.
I didn't mean to, and I didn't have a plan. And I call it my discovery, and I used to call it the Pandora's box. I was like, don't look at that, because if I look at that, there's going to be 15 problems. Uh-huh. So I'm just going to close that for right now because I can't handle it. But like, you get like a lot of not doing enough because you hear it. Like you hear, oh, you guys can only do 6 shows a year. Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys only help one person and you only raised $10,000. Like, so you hear that and you're like, man, I guess it's not enough. Oh, you do coffee for caregivers and only 7 people can come. It's like, I guess it's not enough. So we work on curriculum. So right now I'm trying to simmer down and work on what I've been calling evergreen. So we wrote a curriculum for coffee for caregivers where we can now distribute it anywhere across the country. We just got federally trademarked. We just got a facilitator agreement. Yeah. So that was
That's
exciting.
A big deal.
It is really a big deal. Exciting. I don't do well to pause and celebrate because I plow.
Right.
that's huge.
Incredible. Congratulations.
Okay. I was going to say, it just feels like nothing. It feels like the next thing. I'm like numb. So
but
anyway.
I would say back in response to you, because I feel like one of my giftings in sitting in this chair is trying to think about what the listeners will think and what are some takeaways. Don't be that person. Don't be that person.
Don't say only to a helper.
Right. Don't Ooh. Be that person
yeah,
to the 30-year-old who accidentally started a nonprofit
yeah.
and you are working.
Quit a steady job to do this.
You're working 13 side hustles and caffeinating to the point where it's dangerous. Do not say to someone who's mm. already going to say that to themselves, mm-hmm. you're only.
Yep.
Mm. Because
good language
say it,
catch.
Say yeah. it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have you helped this year?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How, what have you done? Because when I hear of what Love Heals is doing, I think the pace that you are maintaining is frantic. But you
I
don't,
love this.
But you don't feel that.
No.
So as a listener, and we all do it, and we say words like just or actually or literally or only, but tone mm. down your language because somebody else may already be thinking that.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And you just never know all of the little intricate pieces yes. that go mm-hmm. in to make an event happen
mm-hmm.
over and over and over again isn't sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is a lot of work to get people coordinated, promotions, sponsors. I mean, each relationship takes time and nurturing. Mm-hmm. You can only move so fast right. on all these different things. So,
well, it comes from people who like don't know anything about what it takes,
right.
you know? And while those opinions are usually the loudest, they're not founded in reality.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's like you really do have to take them with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You know? Good.
Yeah.
On that note of supporting helpers, you are not cool. exempt from needing support yourself, and Love Heals is not exempt from needing support as an organization. So how can people in the community walk with you as you journey with people through hardship?
Well, there's multiple ways. I'll call it three categories to simplify it. You can attend an event. So if you're a caregiver, come to Coffee for Caregivers. Tell people who are caregivers that they are caregivers. They don't even know that they are. If you are taking care of a loved one who is sick or has special abilities or is aging or it's a neighbor who can't go to the store on their own, that is caregiving and that can cause burnout. So mm-hmm. come meet with other people who are just processing their identity.
And are those opportunities on a website or on
yeah,
social
on
media?
Our website and social media.
Okay.
Wearloveheals.org/events. So come to Coffee for Caregivers, tell people, come to a show. You can sponsor an event. So if you are a business looking for marketing opportunities and you want to attach your brand to a brand that is doing some cool stuff, even if I do worry it's not enough sometimes, it is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you can attach your brand to our stuff by sponsoring an event, and you can email me, Courtney@wearloveheals.org. It's on our website. So just go to wearloveheals.org. Mm-hmm. And then the final piece, if you want to join us on a monthly basis, our monthly donors are part of our heartbeat, and mm-hmm. they are who help sustain the mission. And we're made up of people who believe no one should have to walk through hardship alone, and just people who want to see change happen in this way. So if you mm-hmm. are a person who wants to get behind our mission, you can sign up to be a monthly supporter.
Donations, fundraising
yeah.
is allowing Love Heals to walk alongside people.
Yeah. Well, we have this three streams. So our monthly donors support us as mm-hmm. an organization. We need more monthly donors, absolutely, or corporate donors or church donors. Those are funds we use to pay our website, pay our staff, because mm-hmm. we do have two full-time mm-hmm. staff. We have, and by full-time, I still let my other staff person work mm-hmm. a little bit on the side, because I'm like, I understand mm-hmm. we're mm-hmm. not paying you enough. So anyway, to get us freed up from that, they pay our QuickBooks and our website and our MailChimp and all that mm-hmm. stuff costs money. Nothing's free. Federal trademarking costs
registrations.
$700. It's $100 a year to just operate as a charity mm-hmm. in Virginia. And you have to solicit that every year. It's $400 for California. And we have a donor in California, so we have to maintain XYZ. So there's a lot of legal stuff that people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, monthly donors, church partners mm-hmm. and corporate donors are absolutely our bread and butter lifeline who will help us sustain.
Mm-hmm.
But I also always want people to come to the shows. Mm-hmm. And why is because if you guys don't come to our shows, we don't fulfill the mission, which is no one walks through hardship alone. And to me, like, that is such a pain. That's such a painful picture of like, mm-hmm. what if we do an event and nobody came to support the family?
Mm-hmm.
It's
like no one going to a kid's birthday party.
And no, yeah, it's like, I can't.
Yeah.
If we fail to get people to come to events to support people, then I don't want to do Love Heals anymore, because mm-hmm. we are now reiterating a lie
right.
that no one cares.
Because they already feel that.
They already feel isolated. So if we can't get people in the room, I don't want to do the shows. We'll do other things.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the shows are so beautiful and so important. And so I want people there to support the storytellers, because that is the way we project the mission.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to support them, that's how you can come to an event. And if you want to support us to keep doing this work, and honestly just join the Love Heals little movement that we're trying to get started here, that's where the monthly supporters, mm-hmm. church donors, and corporate mm-hmm. partners come in.
That's awesome.
So the title of this podcast is Mended Futures.
Oh, I see.
Are you the product? Are you the product of a mended future? You're definitely mending other people's futures.
I think my job is to change pathways. So I want to mend the futures. I don't know if I'm necessarily a product of a mended future, mm-hmm. but I hope to participate in it. I come from a family that doesn't really talk about stuff. Broken. My dad was a drug addict, so I don't know him. Stepdad, lots of family drama. So we didn't talk about stuff, and I just don't have a great, like, I love my family, mm-hmm. but I don't connect with them. And I think that's, I'm not trying to blame anybody, but I think there was a lot of that generation that just didn't learn how to connect and talk about more of these deeper things. And so I want to be able to have mm-hmm. conversations where it's like, this is real
mm-hmm.
and you are allowed to feel. My family was big on like, what were they big on? Let me not botch it. Like, hold on. It was kind of like, you always had to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
You could never be hurt. You had to look for the positive, because if you weren't, then you were doing
problem.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you're the problem that was wrong. And I just think they looked at it so black and white because mm-hmm. of a product of their family, because mm-hmm. of the product of their family, because of, and it all comes together. You come from hellfire and brimstone, which produced legalism, which produced deconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the trajectories of history like that. My hope is that we can just become a little more balanced. And I'm sure I won't be perfect
mm-hmm.
Either. But yeah, I hope to help mend us mm-hmm. being able to talk and be both, be grateful and
scared.
Upset and mm-hmm. all of those things all at once. It's more messy. So mm-hmm. anyway, that's how I hope to mend futures moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So you're mending futures as you're walking along, mending your own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer in you should be what you wish you had.
Mm. Yeah.
And is that exhausting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, do I wish someone would just call me mm-hmm. instead of me having to always reach out? Yes. But what do I wish I had? And so don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect at this. And sometimes you have to step back
mm-hmm.
and focus, just like, I'm exhausted and I'm just going to hibernate for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you have to be the thing that you wish you had for someone else. You can't expect others to be that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you wish that someone would ask to do something, you ask to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wish that people called and checked in more, then you have to check in and call more. And you have to be what you want for others, not because you want something from them,
mm-hmm.
But because I think that's our responsibility to, I don't know, other people. So anyway,
mm-hmm.
be what you wish you had.
I think that's great.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Mended Futures podcast, hosted by Allison Jordan and Taylor Melvin, produced by Liam Chafin, Sue England, Allison Jordan, Robert Day, Sully Jugar, and Taylor Melvin. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to see more.